Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Our guest today is Cesar Trujillo. After deciding he was done with multifamily, with the construction industry, he set his sights on multifamily and joined Jake and Gino in 2022. He now owns a sixplex and a commercial lot with a house and a liquor store paid in cash. He recently realized that the same concepts he learned with us could be used to purchase a new business and jump back into construction, closing on his new company in 2023 of April using the three pillars: buy right, manage right, and finance right. Welcome to the show, Cesar. How you doing, brother?
Good. Thank you, Gino. Nice to see you again.
I mean, it's amazing. When Jake and I started that process, the framework, buy right, manage right, finance right, before I have you jump in and share your story, I had the same epiphany as you did. You're up in New York and tell me about this. A few months later, we interviewed a gentleman named Walker Dybul. He wrote the book Buy Then Build, and he talks about being the acquisition entrepreneur. And I'm scratching my head going, wow, well, this doesn't only have to be used for multifamily. This can be used in buying a business. This can be used in buying a single family home, buying self-storage. And I'm like, we're onto something here. So just with the listeners, share your story and your journey of real estate and then why you got into multifamily and then why you joined the Jake and Gino community.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Gino. I got into, I mean, for a lot of years, I wanted to invest in multifamily or single family. I didn't care. My wife and I have been entrepreneurs for over 20 years now, and getting, you know, up there in age here, I was starting to think like, how am I going to retire? You know, like, I mean, we live a great life. We make enough money, but I'm just not really saving for retirement, you know? And, and so to take a hard look at that and think, I'm going to have to change my lifestyle so that I can, you know, save for retirement now. And I was thinking in just, you know, liquid cash. And, you know, that always made me real nervous. And so, you know, we went down the road and said, hey, you know, we had an opportunity. We bought a sixplex. We bought that commercial lot with, you know, the house and the liquor store. And it's 2 acres. So right now currently planning on, you know, developing the acre and a half that's left to maybe an RV storage or, you know, big rig parking, something like that, something that's not a lot of maintenance or, you know, labor intensive. And so we went down that route, and I was in construction. I started a partnership back in 17, and, you know, just kind of we're going our separate ways, just, you know, weren't seeing eye to eye. And, you know, had I been Jake and Gino before that, I think we would have vetted each other correctly. And at that point, we would have decided, you know what, we're just not correct for each other, you know?
Yes.
So, you know, we decided to go our separate ways. And at that point, I was just kind of like at the edge there. I did not want to be in construction anymore. And so I was going to go into trucking, you know?
Ah, really from one funny to the other, you're going to go in the fire to the oven to the whatever that analogy is. But let me stop you right there because it's important. You're on the hamster wheel. I was in the kitchen on the hamster wheel. You're in construction. You feel that overwhelming feeling of being on the hamster wheel. That's so important for that aha, that epiphany of going, I can't retire. And I don't think someone like a Cesar Trujillo wants to retire. They want to find impact. They want to find something that they continue to do, that they can enjoy to do. And being in construction can feel more transactional. And the second point, Cesar, that you made that is so important, it's called values-based decision-making. And I wish I had met Jake and Gino when I made my mistakes. I didn't learn. I learned through trial and error. No one taught us these things. Before I had Jake as a partner, I had picked a couple of really bad partners. And oh, by the way, after I met Jake, I still went into a bad partnership a few years ago. So it's one of those things that you're constantly learning. But for anybody out there vetting a partner or vetting a sponsor or vetting someone who's close to you, even an investor, whatever that looks like, it really is values-based decision-making, seeing what your values are and seeing if your values align with your potential partner and seeing what your goals are. Do your goals and your values align with that potential partner? Your partner may want to become the next Facebook, and you may just say, hey, I want to buy 100 units or 200 units. That relationship is not going to last long-term. And there's nothing wrong with it, but you need to really align with what you're trying to accomplish, with what your partner's trying to accomplish. Would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, Gino, and that's exactly it, because we both had different visions and we both had, you know, different ideas on getting to whatever goals we had. And, you know, at the end of the day, the goals were completely different, you know. I wanted to stay in multifamily, and you know, he wanted to go into single family construction, and that's just something that I wasn't interested in.
So when was that conversation? When did you realize, oh, this is not really going to work for me? I just don't feel like this, you know, going forward is going to work.
Gino, I was in church one day. I was at mass, and you know, I just closed my eyes that day, and it was like somewhere around November of 21, somewhere around there. And I just told God, I think I'm done, you know, and I hung on until around May, when I finally approached my partner and I said, I think we need to go our separate ways.
And what gave you the courage to do that?
Well, we were running out of money. You know, we did go down the other path of a single family, and, you know, we were running out of money. I have not brought any money home in several months, and you know, I was starting to feel the pressure. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the company's bank account being drained. We're struggling to make payroll every week. I'm calling companies, you know, hey, can you forward me some money? You know, can I get an advance on the draw and stuff like that? And, you know, I just started looking down into the following year and seeing what we had in the pipeline and what we had as far as contracts going, and did a financial analysis of where we are and where we could possibly be. I saw no possibility of getting paid. I saw no possibility of, you know, actually getting back into multifamily, because when in construction, when you leave a void, somebody will fill that void quickly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I did make some phone calls. I for one client that we did a lot of work for in multifamily, and I said, hey, you know, just whatever you have, man, I just don't want to be irrelevant. And he just said, you guys are irrelevant already, you know? And so that was the bucket that, you know, that icy water, you know, the ice challenge water, you know.
It took a lot of courage, I think, for you to do that, and a lot of responsibility. And I think if you had become successful, or you held on to the single family, your values and your alignment and your core beliefs didn't believe it. So if you did bail yourself out and you're still doing it, you still wouldn't feel successful. There still wouldn't be any happiness to that journey. I think that's what's important. People are like, well, I'm holding on. You're not really fighting towards your sole purpose or what you think you were created for, or what you wanted to. So it's a short-term fix, you know, but your long-term problems, your long-term beliefs, because our beliefs are behavior driven. If we believe we got to be in multifamily, but we continue to go down this single family route, it's going to start eating at you. It's going to start bothering you. And I think, I mean, looking back, it's easy to say you did the right choice, but when you analyze the problems that you have in life, the opportunity was, I've realized all this. It's not part of my dream. It's not my skill set. Somebody's calling me irrelevant, and that really hurts, but what do I do to pivot to do that? So how did you pivot, Cesar? You just said, hey, good, you know, I'm going to drop this and just start something new. What was the next steps you took?
Well, fortunately, you know, we did still have a couple of projects that, you know, we were still finishing off. And so we were able to say, okay, you take those projects, you take that profit if there's any, and I'll take this one. And I'll take that profit if there's any, or I'll take whatever liability comes from that. And so we started operating somewhat as two companies within the same company. Mm. And so then, you know, I started to look. I said, hey, I'm serious. I was seriously out of construction. I'm like, I'm going into trucking, you know. I got on the freeway one day, Gino, and I counted over 100 big rigs in about a 20-mile area. And I was like, I'm going into trucking. And you know what? I'm going to start with FedEx or Amazon or, you know, something like that, that, you know, I'll just buy somebody out. I don't know anything about it, but I'll buy somebody out. Hopefully the employees will stay. They know what's going on. And then I'll just keep going from there. And I was having, you know, Lydia, she was like emailing me and texting me, don't do it. She was texting me like,
thankfully,
kind of, you know, like articles of, you know, failing transportation companies and this and that and all a lot of stuff. And so we went to MM5, and I was stern. I mean, I had the name of the company, I had drawn the logo, you know, and nobody in my family you.
Did I save you? Is that what you're saying? That MM5 saved you? And Cesar, I'm sorry to cut you off, but this is so important because you know why? You were caught up in a bubble. You were caught up in a frenzy. At the trucking in 2020, 2021, I knew mothers who were stay-at-home were crushing it for a year or two, just like multifamily. Everyone wants to jump in, and there's crazy money because it's cheap money, and there's a lot of demand. People staying home from the pandemic, and then all of a sudden, that's dried up in the last 6 months, and people are actually losing their companies. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I needed to make that point for everybody because that's what boom cycles look like. That's what happens when you don't have the experience, and you're just jumping in, and everyone who's made their money is selling these companies while you're buying at the high, and it's very similar to what it's been happening in real estate. So continue with that story. You're at MM5. Lydia's telling you no. No, everyone's telling you no. You've got the logo. You're ready to rock and roll. What did you hear at MM5 that made you change your mind?
You know, it was Luke Wren. I was talking to Luke in one of the breaks, and you know, he just kind of told me, "Man, you sure you want to do something you've never done before? I mean, like, how do you know you're even going to like it? You know?" Wow. And so they're at MM5, we're all there dancing with Vanilla Ice there. It was a great time, by the way. And after that, people were just like, "So you're really going to do trucking? How are you going to do this?" I'm like, you know what? I was invigorated, you know. I forget the football player's name that was there, one of the speakers there.
Julius Thomas.
Hard work guy. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, him. And, you know, when he just kept saying, you know, hard work. And it's basically, you know, when I used to drop my kids off at school, the last thing I used to tell them was hard work, guys. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, I'm going back into construction and I'm going to work hard to make my own way. Wow. So, you know, so I started getting back into it and I was thinking I was going to start a company from scratch again, you know? Uh-huh. And one day my wife, she texted me an offering for a company out of Morgan Hill here in California. It's a painting company. It's a legacy company. It was established back in the 70s. And, you know, I was kind of like, I'm not really interested in, you know, buying something. But, you know, she kept texting it to me. And then so finally said, "I'm going to look at it just so I don't have to lie to her." You know? You know, so I'll take a look at it. And then that way, because she'd be like, "Did you take a look at it?" "No, I was too busy today." "No, I was too busy." And I said, "Okay, finally, I'm going to look at this because I don't want to lie to her, you know." Uh-huh. And so I took a look at it and I thought, wow, this actually looks really good. And so I made contact with the broker and, you know, asked for the preliminary reports and stuff. And when I got the, you know, profit and loss statements and, you know, some of the other offerings that they were giving, just kind of reminded me a lot of when, you know, we were going through the academy with Jake and Gino. And I was like, okay, so how do I take what I've already learned and, you know, do this? How do I close on this? Mm-hmm. You know? So I just kind of started making a list of, okay, so, you know, revenue is revenue, right? So, you know, what's my cap rate on this company? How do I find a cap rate for this company? You know? Uh-huh. And so I just kind of translated that into their margin, you know? And then, you know, then I went from, you know, how many apartments are leased, you know, in a complex, to what's the, how many leads come into the company, and what's the close ratio for bids coming in, kind of like how many apartments he got, you know, how many are empty. And so I started coming up with a close ratio that was about 10%, which was really good for the industry. But the biggest thing was that the amount of leads that they were coming in yearly traditionally was about 19 million a year. So that translated to being a very, very stable company. The company's been around for a long time. And so, you know, so I was like, okay, so that looks real good. Okay, let's look at, you know, net operating income, you know. So look at that, you know, and then the profit margin, you know, which was 25%. And I was, okay, I think that we can do, what's the cash on cash You know?
So you're looking at all metrics that we use in multifamily. That's exactly why becoming a multifamily entrepreneur is really scaling and understand how right now Cesar is forming the buy right. He's forming his criteria to buy this asset. And he's also looking at the manage right portion, like how are you managing these leads? But it's really important because you're looking basically at a T12 of a multifamily property. You're looking at a T12 of this company. And the great thing about your property, you just put some kind of other metrics. You have intangibles in there. You've got lead flow coming in there. You've got costs coming in there, income over expenses, understanding all of that. And the great thing about it is you don't have to build it. It's already there. Like when you're buying a multifamily building, it's already cash flowing and you're seeing the pro forma. So you're able to build a pro forma on a multifamily where you're taking a property from $700 in rents to $900. What's the NOI after I do that? And you're doing the same exact thing when you're analyzing a business, taking it from, you have this kind of profit margin. What can you do next year? So, I mean, that is really interesting to note that because no one on the show, we've not talked about buying businesses yet. So this is really interesting how you can utilize it for this framework as well.
Yeah. I sat there, I have a thinking chair. It's over at my wife's dental practice, you know, and I've sat there so many times just thinking, brainstorming. And, you know, sometimes my wife would be like, what are you doing, man? Are you going to do something? And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking, I sat there and I thought, like, how do I do this? You know? So I don't work for a bank. I don't know how banks underwrite these things, you know, so I've never seen one, but you know, good old Bill Hamp showed us how to underwrite, you know, apartment complexes. So, you know, so that's how I kind of just did a, by relation, you know, like I'll take this information from the business and equate it to what it would be, you know, a relationship in a multifamily.
And did you end up buying this? You end up buying this business.
I did, you know. So then I went into like, now let's put the deal together because, you know, so this is where I kept thinking about Bill Hamm, you know, because everybody tells me, hey, have you ran that through Bill Hamm? You know, he's the deal killer and all this other stuff. So I actually tried to kill the deal, you know, to make sure that this was something that was viable, you know. So I put together a great offer for them because I didn't want to come in with, you know, traditional SBA, which was, it was approved through SBA, pre-approved. And, but I didn't want to come in with the 20%. So I wanted to do a little bit of owner financing and they were able to, you know, they accepted the 10%.
Wow.
So they put down the 10% or actually
the note,
you know, I owe them the 10%.
Cesar, let me mention a couple points here. Number one, none of our coaches kill deals. As Bill would say, it's dead on arrival. It's dead even before he looks at it. It's really simple math. If you bring a deal to something, you'll look at the debt service coverage ratio. If it doesn't hit those metrics, you either have to do bridge debt and make sure your performers work, or you got to drop the price. It's one of those two. And over the last couple of years, you haven't been able to drop the price because there's been so much demand. Remember trucking? Everybody's getting into trucking. A lot of people are getting into multifamily. Now, as we're recording this, people are pulling out of trucking. Prices are going to drop for trucking. People are pulling out of multifamily and prices are dropping. So that's what's going on. And it's really, really interesting that you made that connection. Oh, I can use seller financing in this business. And you can use it in multifamily as well. So you've got the buy right, you've got the finance right, and all that's left now is the manage right of this business, correct?
And not only did they do the 10%, they actually left me 800,000 of their ARs.
Did they really? Wow.
Yeah. It was all life-changing, part of the deal.
Life-changing deal. I mean, now, looking back and you see the door closing on the trucking opportunity, do you think it was a life-changing opportunity for you to take this painting business over the trucking? Or would the trucking have been a much bigger mistake if you had missed out on this painting, looking back at it now?
I think going to trucking at this point would have been a huge mistake.
Okay.
The industry changed overnight. Mm-hmm. I still keep an eye on it because it just, I like the trucks when I see them down the road. So I still keep a tab on it. But yeah, the industry, at least in California, changed overnight and it's about to change again.
It's interesting you say that. Jake loves to work out. He doesn't mean you go out and you become a personal trainer. Just because you love something doesn't mean you should get into that business. Jake, if you're listening to this, brother, Cesar is proving your point. Don't get into the business unless you have a business plan and you're able to buy right, finance right, and manage right. You wanted to share a story with us about in January after MM5, we had an amazing opportunity to get about 40 to, I think it was 45 Jake and Gino students in January for a one-day mastermind at Ryan Serhant's event. And it was all about branding. And I had a phenomenal time. The food was great. Went out to these Italian restaurants. He had catering coming in. We had went to Cipriani's the night before. It was just a great experience with the Ryan Serhant team. Big shout out to that team. They did an awesome job. But what was even more awesome was the full day of amazing content and the students there. Can you share your experience with that day and that weekend with the listeners?
Right. I was able to close on the company, took over April, I think it was April 13th was the close date, but, my first day on the job was on April 17th, which was my birthday.
Yes.
So it was a good gift. We went to, the marketing and the branding. This company, that I purchased, they were primarily a painting company that offered other services like waterproofing and roof coatings and window glazing, some carpentry. And so coming in with the experience that I have in construction already, I decided to rebrand the company. So now we rebranded from being a painting company that offers other services to a general contractor who specializes in these items.
Wow.
Painting, waterproofing, roof coatings, and now drywall and, framing.
Wow. And how has that process gone? How have you seen the results of that?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have my marketing meeting on Thursdays at 10 o'clock. So I have a marketing specialist and now I have a branding specialist.
Wow.
On staff. You know, it's that important. And that's what makes the difference between this company and, other construction companies. Even my previous company, we didn't have any of this stuff. We went out there and marketed ourselves by just, making contact with people. But now we're actually running marketing campaigns based on seasons and, right now we're marketing our roof, our roof coatings because, the rainy season's going to come and, California hasn't rained for several years. It rained last year, but, we have a lot of roofs that are going to need coating. So we are now starting to get a lot of requests for other services under the general contractor.
Cesar, what I want you to do is... We're not even done with the show yet, but drop the website and where people can reach out to you. Because if you're listening to this and you own multifamily or you own any assets in California, reach out to Cesar because there may be a place where, hey, I want somebody to invest in a multifamily deal and you need somebody with operations or some kind of boots on the ground. Cesar would be the perfect person to partner with because he can bring that skill set to the asset. You know, you can still property manage asset, but he can be the operations / CapEx team member there, and you can bring a lot of that value there. So you're buying these assets with a partner, you can bring that on. So what's the website for everybody?
It is McLaughlinCA.com.
McLaughlinCA.com. That's awesome.
MC. Oh, man, I have to write it myself. It's MCLAUGHLINCA.com.
That will be in the show notes as well. I just wanted you to put that out because I really want to recap this for everybody listening to this, because this to me is a truly astounding story of what happens when you put yourself in a room with other high level, like-minded individuals. Cesar went there to start a trucking business. He's probably in the room saying to himself at Multifamily Mastery 5, what the heck, God, did you put me in this room for? I want to start trucking and these people are talking about multifamily. And I'm here for multifamily, but it doesn't make sense. I want to get out of construction. And then that door closes, and then his wife is texting him there going, I got this great opportunity. This lady's bothering me. I got to just read this thing and watch this thing. And then all of a sudden, the opportunity looks great, and everything you've learned about buy right, manage right, finance right just clicks. And you're like, I could buy a deal from using that framework. Let me buy it. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to this weekend with Ryan Serhant, who's a celebrity who actually has amazing content. And I finally learned the secret to business, which most people will never learn. It's about sales and marketing. You can have the best roofing business on the planet. You can be the best painter on the planet, but if nobody knows about you, you're not going to make money. And that's the reality. And that's the that is what I have to go through every day with this education company. That's what we go through with our property management company, getting leads. And when you realize that, and when you realize how important your brand is, it's your voice, it's who you are. And all you did is made a few little tweaks about being this company that provides these services and you're a great painter. To me, it seems like everything changed for you. I mean, you want to add anything to that or expand upon it? Because it's really an incredible story. It really is.
Yeah. So definitely the biggest thing for me was like, I didn't want to change anything within the company. It's a great company already. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to present it in a different manner so that the people who look at our company aren't just looking for a painting company. So that they, when they come to us, they know I can take care of them and every single part of their needs with construction, whether I have to sub it out or whether I have the labor in-house and the knowledge to do it. You know, that's exactly what I wanted to do with this company. You know, revenue wise, it's great. I could have left it alone, but I went to Jake and Gino. You know?
We start tweaking. Cesar, I mean, before we wrap the show, what is your goals for the next 3 to 5 years? Do you have any aspirations to continue to grow this business, to continue to invest in assets? Because the great thing about this, everybody, Cesar was worrying about retiring. He has an asset now that he's building, that he's implementing systems. He's buy, then build, right? And it's amazing that in 5 years or 10 years, there's going to be more systems in this. It's actually a property or an asset, a business that can be sold for a multiple. It's like a multifamily property. You have a 100-unit asset. You've put systems in this, and this 100 units, it's easier to sell than a 100-unit mom and pop. He's not being the mom and pop right now. He's implementing systems. So what does that look like for you for the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, what I am striving for right now, I mentioned that void earlier and irrelevant. I am now becoming relevant in that arena again.
Yes.
So I was selling approximately $7 million in new construction in my previous company. And I want to get to that volume again in the new construction so that I have a new construction division and the current McLaughlin division with the rebranded company.
Wow. You've read The Honeybee, haven't you? Multiple streams of revenue. It sounds like you're the honeybee right there. It sounds like you're Tom and Noah, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, my son, he's in his last year of college, business major, and like his father, not a dentist like his mom.
It's okay.
That's okay. No, just kidding. He's going to join me here at the end of his last year.
Wow. So let's pull you back to 2016 and 2017. Could you have envisioned this kind of turnaround where you were sitting there at church saying, God, I don't want to be doing this single family thing anymore. Let me know what I need to do. Could you envision the turnaround and the transformation? There's no change in your life. You just transformed your life. Could you have seen that?
No, not at all. You know, when we got into a single family, and this, not to say anything with manual labor because somebody has to do it, but you know, oftentimes on Sunday, my son and I would have to go to the single family homes and prep for the guys to work the next day. And so we'd be moving drywall sheets, you know, box of taping mud and whatnot. And, you know, one day I remember your story. You said you were kneeling down, cleaning out a clogged drain and I'm walking through about 2 feet of powdered dirt and, you know, jumping over ditches, moving drywall, you know, from one house to another. And I was thinking, no way, man, I don't have time to work. I can't be working in the business. I need to be working on my business. This is not the way this is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always wanted to be able to take my company to be a professional company. Mm-hmm. It just was one of those things where we didn't have the same vision, mm-hmm. you know, through understanding or education or whatever the case may be. That just wasn't, it never happened to us and the other company, you know, and we made plenty of money there, you know, it just wasn't part of that culture. And to find this company really fulfills everything, all the aspirations that I had as being a professional and in construction. And so that day, yeah, I could not think beyond, I just don't want to do this no more.
Mm-hmm. And the amazing part about the whole journey is you get into it and you're sitting there and we all have to work hard. That's the problem. Most of us don't even want to work hard, but those of us that do, we're like, this can't be it. You have to be able to work hard in your, you know, in your business before you can say, I have to work on my business. There has to be that transition. Most of us get stuck working in it for the rest of our lives, whether we're washing dishes or we're moving drywall, because we have to learn the intricacies of a business, right? But once we've learned that, we need to be able to grow. And the reason why I think you probably realize that is I'm around people in Jake and Gino that have understood that as well. They've got systems. How does a pizza guy with one restaurant, you know, in 5 years get 1,500 units? He's not going to every single property and doing that. And if he can do it, then I can do it. So I commend you on that. That is an awesome, awesome story, utilizing the framework to buy a business. And that's just setting you up to create that asset and creating multiple streams of revenue. Cesar, before we sign off, once again, give me the website where people can reach you. If you want to put your cell phone number, you want to throw your cell phone number, you can do that as well, sure, if you'd like.
It's McLaughlin, McLaughlinca.com. And my phone number is area code 559-960-7502.
Cesar, I really want to thank you for sharing your story on here. If anybody's struggling or they want to get into multifamily, before we sign off, give me a couple of things that people should do if they really want to get serious about investing in real estate. What are the things that you did when you started out? Give them a couple of tips to start out investing in real estate.
Get educated. That is number one. I used to loan money to friends who, you know, were buying multifamily or single family, whatever. They were investing in real estate. And I used to loan money to them. And I remember the first time I talked to you over the phone, you told me if I would have known you a few months before, because I had just loaned a friend like $300,000 and he bought like an amazing property with 32 units, pennies on the dollar. I think he got them for like $65,000 a unit in Fresno.
Oh.
That was a ridiculous price, right?
Yes.
And I loaned him the money to buy them. And he said, man, if I would have known you just a few months ago, you would have been a partner in the deal, not just
debt owner. That's right, my friend. Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, my friend, he paid me back and, you know, a little extra and stuff. But that was an eye opener to get educated.
Yes.
You know, you have to get educated. You know, you can learn this along the way. And I think one of the reasons why I was kind of hesitant in really investing was that I've seen a lot of friends lose a lot of money, you know, with these, you know, hard money loans, and, you know, they just end up losing a lot. They've lost a lot because no one's ever told them how to do it, you know, correctly. They don't know the three pillars. And so, you know, to become, you know, a successful investor in real estate, you need to be with the people that know how to do it, who are going to teach you how to do it. And joining Jake and Gino, to me, was, you know, like the beginning of the rest of my life there.
Thanks for sharing your story today. I really commend you. And I love the way you use the framework. And you're getting on and you're saying, listen, whatever you're doing, educate yourself. That's the first step. I think the second step would be take massive action, because Cesar was sitting in that thinking chair in his wife's office and going, okay, I'm thinking. But that thinking turned into action. And that's where a lot of us sit and stop. And I think the accountability piece of being in a community, the accountability piece of having an amazing spouse who's pushing him to do it, That is really a huge component to anybody's success. So for anybody out there, go check out Cesar. Make sure you've got his phone number. And listen, I want to thank you for being an amazing guest today on the Movers and Shakers show. If there's anybody out there who wants to be highlighted on Movers and Shakers, just email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. Cesar, go out there and have it on Movers and Shakers day. Have a great week. And once again, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And we'll see you at MM6.
That's right, brother. Thanks, everyone.